this meeting of Committee of the Whole to order. I'd like to welcome everyone for attending today. I have two small additions to the agenda today. Under 1.1, it will be approval of the agenda, and under 1.2, it will be public questions, comments section. A motion to approve the agenda would be in order. Councilor Freilich, seconded by Councilor Fisk. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? Approved, thank you. Under 1.2, public questions, comments. Are there any member of the public that would like to speak? Leon Robinson?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I noticed initially it was left out.
Leon, if you could give your name and address, please.
Leon Robinson, 45 College Street in Liverpool. Sorry about that, Mr. Mayor. Yesterday when we were talking about the public comment session, and thank you for having that put in there, and I assume that will be there in future Committee of the Whole meeting.
It is anticipated to be there, yes.
Okay, thank you. We talked about a few things there yesterday, Mr. Mayor, and there's one thing there under 3.1, your attraction strategy, and on page 7 there it has to do with health and wellness, and what you're looking at there. Senior assisted living for seniors and apartments, and also nursing homes and residential care facilities. And my comments to you, Mr. Mayor, and I've heard from some other people as well, and I know you're looking at Hillsview Acres, and that's, as we know, the original building was an 1800 vintage. It was remodeled considerably in the 1980s. Here and now it's up for further renewal or looking at or what have you. The thought that I had was if you looked at the Queen's Manor, which is going to need updating, as I understand, in the near future, and if we looked at seniors' apartments and with a nursing component attached to it, and the Queen's Manor, look at that as moving the residential care facility perhaps from Hillsview to that location, and leaving that vacant over there. But I understand there's a fair amount of land that goes with that, so you might be able to, the asset maybe provide you some money for doing renovations, say, to the Queen's Manor, putting that into a residential care facility, building the seniors' apartments with the nursing home component there, the number of nursing home beds with it, and a suggestion of a place that would be very central would be over on Queen's Place Drive. I know Kent owns the land from 103 in quite a ways, but then there's a good sized piece of land there that fits onto the fronts onto the Sandy Cove Road, I guess you'd call it. And that would be very central, particularly for the people in the central and the seniors' apartments, because you have all your shopping right there, your two big grocery stores, you have your pharmacy that's in one of the grocery stores, and other amenities there. And people would access to all of that, and be very central. Also, if you move the residential care facility into this area, then it's close to the amenities such as hospitals and things like that, and that's what's needed for the residents that would be there. So that's just a thought for when you're doing your due diligence with respect to the economic development under number on page 7, the health and wellness. I would suggest that perhaps maybe that would be taken into consideration. I believe you indicated to me yesterday that probably would be, you'd be looking at all aspects. Is that correct, Mr. Mayor?
The issues which you've raised today, Leon, are on the lines of staff and councilors going forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak?
Hi, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm Mary White from Beach Meadows. I just wanted to say I put a few thoughts together and I gave a copy of them to my counselor, Susan McLeod, and maybe she's going to have a look at them and pass them on for you to think about and consider as far as economic development goes. Also, I hadn't thought about it before, but just a continuation of what this gentleman just said here, if we're going to go that route, then possibly as far as the assisted living and the seniors living and everything goes, put it all together. Is there a possibility of also adding an annex on there where we can have a training facility for medical staff seniors. And again, I think we might get some government funding for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Very appreciated. Any other comments? I guess not. We'll move on to the next section, which is 3.1, interaction strategy information, and I would ask Jim Crookshank, economic. Excuse me, jumping the gun. You're right. We have 2.1. Getting ahead of myself. Town meeting protocol recommendation. Councilor Muse.
I move that Mayor David Dangle be permitted to participate in discussion during council of the whole meetings, provoke the requirement of having to vacate the chair, provided that the mayor holds himself to a higher standard than the other councils regarding duration and frequency of speech and meaning. Number one, the mayor does not seek to bias the direction of the discussion, and number two, the mayor limits himself to no more than 3 minutes of speaking time in each instance of participating in discussion, and number three, the mayor does not participate in discussion more than 2 times unless each council member has also had and acted upon the their opportunity to speak.
Second, Councilor Fisk, discussion. Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I just have a correction, if I can make a friendly amendment. That should read during committee of the whole meetings and not council of the whole meetings.
Oh.
Can we just make a friendly amendment on that?
We would require a motion to amend, but specifically that, but yes.
Okay.
So are you moving an amendment?
Yes.
Moved by Deputy Mayor McLeod to amend. Seconded. Councilor Muse. Any discussion on the amendment? Are you ready to vote on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous. We are now back to the amended motion. Any discussion on the amended motion? Councilor Fancy?
Yeah. I don't know if we should say in there too, just because of, I think, things we've talked about in the past is that the mayor should be the last to speak, because if the mayor is the first to speak, it does make creates a bias in ways, because then it can change the direction of things.
Any other councillor comment? Councillor Fisk?
I think it's all right, quite sure.
Any other councillor? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I think in the past, it's always been the practice of the mayor to speak at the end of any discussions by other councillors, so I think that would be good protocol.
As a point of clarification, the committee of the whole is more relaxed than an open council meeting, and that is the reason for this adjustment to the protocol. If you wish to have the mayor speak only at the end, that's your prerogative as a vote. It will saddle the discussion. And that's the only comment I'm going to make. It will prohibit me from, in the discussion, adding a point that may be of benefit. And if at the end we already have the discussion of all councillors, then it is slowing down the progression if I have information that I wish to share earlier in the discussion. So keep that in mind. So every councillor have their opportunity to speak. Are you ready for the vote on the motion? Question? All those in favor of the amended motion? It is unanimous. Thank you.
No, it's not. It's not unanimous.
It is not? I'm sorry. I thought you had your hand up.
No.
All those opposed? Councilor Fancy. Thank you. It's carried. Jill, if you'd like to have a seat. Jill Crookshank, Director of Economic Development, will now give us a presentation on the attraction strategy.
Just give it a sec. Who wins them?
Yes, thank you all for the opportunity to revisit the attraction strategy, which is one of the things that came up in the strategic priorities, and it's a while now since we dealt with this, so I think, and there's a few people who are probably not familiar with the strategy, so what I thought I'd do this morning is go through some of the background as to how it all came about, and then look at where we are now, and then looking at sort of where we might go in the future, and sort of open up that discussion on where we want to go with this thing, if in what form. So back into November 2011, certain members of council and Economic Development Department, CAO, met with some of the members of the Chamber of Commerce and came up with the idea of having a revitalization committee, and initially we're looking at you know, the downtown, I believe, but it then morphed into more for Queens as a whole. And this was the mission statement that they came up with for the group that went forward with that. So it was, we resolved to strategically and effectively revitalize the economic sustainability of Queens while spurring growth through a collaboration of energies and efforts. Our aim is to increase the population and overall wealth while maintaining our valued quality of life. So the idea is that by attracting people here, whether they're residents, businesses, or tourists, that brings dollars into Queens and investment, and then that helps us to grow and sustain and maintain all our services that we provide. This is just sort of going through what happened. That meeting, that committee was formed with that mission statement in November, and the committee met, it was not weekly, but every 2 weeks probably, and grappled a lot with, you know, what our uniqueness was, and how to actually pull all the good things that we have in Queens into some kind of a structured way, and look at what we have that's a bit different to what the counties around us have. And so we got to June, and we presented a concept to council and also to the South Queens Chamber executive, and that was the day after the Bowater announcement. And on June the 25th, we did a presentation at Best Western to the Chamber's AGM, which turned out to be a packed house with standing room only. Those that were there, and I think everybody thought we had the answer to the Bowater closure, and we were waving our magic wand, and it was all going to be wonderful. But the overwhelming response at that meeting was, "Yes, we love it. Just get on with it," and that was really, you know, a good sort of mandate to go forward. They also presented it to the transition team, and so they, and the transition team met with a lot of the same people as we had in our focus groups and meetings. So they were hearing the same ideas as we heard. So it kind of reinforced it all. So we had some focus groups, one on each pillar, in July and August, and we got some funding to hire consultants to help us facilitate the process. It was presented to North Queens Board of Trade, and I might add that North Queens Board of Trade were invited to be a part of it. It was just logistically a bit difficult for them to get somebody to the meetings, but they were certainly very supportive of the concept. And then in September, we hired Donna Hatt to facilitate meetings with wider groups on all three pillars. And as a result of that, some action teams were struck, and we had some public meetings as well. And then in October, we used the money to hire some external consultants who were economic development specialists. And so they were taking all the input that we had and sort of morphing it into some kind of an action plan for us to take forward. And they presented that finally in February of 2013. So the framework for the attraction strategy is built on the three pillars of health and wellness, research and development, and arts and culture. And they all sort of can be joined together by the creative economy, which is you know, a thing that brings people to an area because they actually want to live in that area, they want that quality of life, and maybe they can do what they love anywhere in the world, but they would choose to be somewhere like this. And it's the overarching connection is our pristine outdoors and the UNESCO Biosphere Reserve. It's a venue for our health and wellness. It's a place where research is done, and it's an inspiration for our arts and culture. And feeding into them all is tourism, and events feed into them all. It all kind of strings together, and some things duplicate between the pillars. So back in those days, we were looking at, you know, Queen's Place was fairly new, and it was a great asset for the community in terms of health and wellness. The Queen's General Hospital was looking at expanding, but we already knew we had a very collaborative team of doctors who worked together, but they were actually working on formalizing that healthcare team. There was a great team spirit. The doctors who came here, many of them came for the lifestyle and loved it here. From the same perspective, North Queen's Community Health Centre was a community-driven initiative. That place was created, you know, by the will and funds of the community, and is a great example of the community looking after its health and wellness. We had Queen's Manor and Queen's Nursing Home and lots of other, or a few other seniors facilities around the place. It's a great place for wellness retreats and spas, and those business opportunities were there. Classes, farm markets, and the agriculture sector feeds into this this pillar with people who are growing their own produce and the movie industry, and we have lots of outdoor trails and parks and rivers and lakes. You know, you can go on forever, but it's a huge asset that we have here. The next pillar is a bit of a shock to some people who didn't realize we actually had all this stuff going on in the academic research and development side. On the medical front, we do get students in different medical professions who come down to shadow our doctors and caregivers. And so we are quite known as a teaching facility at Queen's General. Just even though it's a small community hospital, it's exposing these people to a different life. Like if you're a doctor in the city, you're very you're just a doctor. You're in your office, you see people, but you don't necessarily have those sort of whole relationship with them. Whereas here, you can be in emergency, you can be doing day surgery, you can be doing your office, you can be doing a whole variety of different things, and that's what appeals to doctors who come here. They like that roundness of experience. In North Queens, we've got the Mersey Tobiatic Research Institute, which was set up because of the UNESCO designation, and of course they are doing a lot of research all the time in West Queens. We have the Harrison Lewis Coastal Discovery Centre adjacent to Thomas Riddell Park. Again, they're really well set up with a laboratory and sleeping facilities for students to come down and do research. At the time, the Friends of Port Mattoon Bay were very active and had a lot of academic research done on the fish farm, and that expanded into oceans and different studies that were done, and so that's a huge body of work that was done. The Canadian Museum of Civilization, Dr. Matthew Betts, who I'm sure a lot of you have met, was excavating in Thomas Riddell Park, the Mi'kmaq shell middens, and was finding some extraordinary things that were, you know, predating anything that he or anyone had thought was in this area, and it was all sort of really exciting stuff, and I think he still continues to work on those artifacts that were discovered there. And obviously having the National Park and the National Historic Site, you know, we have gems there in unspoilt Atlantic coastline and Acadian forest. Arts and culture, well, we're all about arts and culture. This is a big pillar, but you know, we have lots of artisans and galleries. We're a center for music, and we have some very talented musicians, singers. We have a lot of writers, and have had the Port Medway Readers Festival, which attracts nationally acclaimed writers to Port Medway at least 3 times a summer. The theater festival, a very active and vibrant theater with its own theater company and society. And of course, this is where all the festivals and events go. And also there's a lot of businesses. This is the creative economy piece, especially where we have videographers and graphic designers, web designers, people who could do their job from anywhere but choose to be here. And then our museums of history and heritage all come into this too. And there's an aspect of culinary tourism as well, and so much more, but it just sort of packages everything together and says what a rich abundance of this art and culture we have in Queens. So the consultants came up with a process. And although they presented us with a final report, what I see they gave us really was this kind of tool to use for ideas that come forward in the future. And basically they give us a template to go through. So an idea that comes forward needs to be validated, it needs to be actionable, it needs to be doable. It needs a champion, somebody who can enthusiastically and passionately talk about something that's going to inspire others to want to do whatever their idea is. That person isn't necessarily the risk taker. They might be the champion and the person actually doing the work and investing, but for the purposes of the process, they divided it up into 3 different roles. So the what they called the promoter, we'd more readily understand as the entrepreneur, as you know, the person who takes the risk in actually taking the idea and doing the work behind it to make it a reality. And then the investor is the person who comes up with the money that takes the idea through to fruition. But I won't dwell on that because you probably can't read it anyway, but this was kind of like the flow chart of the process that they came up with. And it's not necessarily that every step was followed all the time, but it sort of just gives you a process that sort of, somebody comes to you with an idea, but before you actually take a lot of time and effort to make it come to fruition, does it have the legs to go forward? Is there somebody who is passionate about it, who's going to sell it to investors and to entrepreneurs? Is there enough? How much time is it going to take? How much money is it going to take? Is it likely that that money is available? And all of those kind of things. So it's really a process that helps you filter out ideas that are, well, it's a great idea, but there's no way of it actually going forward. And the ones that do have that, the legs, as I call it, to go forward, then can have that resource applied to them. So what the consultants came up with a report, and they did choose some of the goals that came out from the focus groups and the bigger meetings that we had, and sort of picked out what they saw as being maybe the lower hanging fruit. And for health and wellness, the overall goal was to develop and promote health and wellness opportunities as an integral part of the attraction strategy. And by creating a hub of health services and a center of excellence, we will attract new residents, create new jobs, lay the foundation for attracting new ventures, and realize the benefits of becoming a healthier community. So they picked a few actions. One was to extend the collaborative care model that had been used to attract physicians to other healthcare professions. based on the great record that our doctors have of attracting other doctors to the area. Action two was develop an assisted living facility and a strategy for a campus approach that supports aging in place, and that refers very much to Leon and Mary were saying in the gallery there, that if you can have people who come in at the independent stage and then they go into independent with some help, and then independent with some medical as well as help around the house, and then, you know, into that nursing style, to transition through as their needs change, it means they don't actually have to move very far. They just know they are where they're going to be, and they can get the services they need. Action three was to build our capacity to promote health and wellness, and they talked about doing a housing needs survey of residents as a sort of a first part of that action. For academic development research, it was how can we take academic research and development and take that step further to enable new ventures to start as a result of research, and maybe increasing the chance of people being able to come here, set up their business, and the Port Mersey, or the InnovaCore Demonstration Centre at Port Mersey, is very much I see as something that feeds into that. It's giving people that kind of incubation before they go up to the full commercial level with their idea, and get the chance to prove it before it scales up and becomes a bigger business. So the goals under academic research were develop the scope, sites, locations, natural assets, facilities, and research associated with the biosphere. And so I think the idea there was to create some kind of a web portal where all this information would readily be held. So if somebody was looking at coming here to do research, they knew exactly who to get in touch with, what permits they might need, what where they could go, what the assets were, and what research had already been done here. The second one was about commercializing a new resource-based product. And the consultant from Quebec had a commercialization opportunity that he was aware of for HazCap berries. That actually didn't sort of come to anything in the end, but it was certainly pursued. And lastly there, to promote the North Queen's business hub as it now is, to potential tenants and partners. And at that stage I don't think it was fully built, it was just still in its initial stages. For arts and culture, the overall goal is pretty self-explanatory, you know, using our arts and culture as to create a destination, an investment tool, and an attraction. So they had the objective for Action 7, establish a cooperative promotional marketing centre for the arts. So consider all the options to expand and promote Queen's niche arts festivals. And they were thinking of things like the theatre festival and the readers festival and all the other wonderful festivals we have. Action 8 was to build, promote, and animate a joint virtual presence, so that people who are maybe doing their art or craft in their own home and don't want to open an actual gallery could promote themselves via some kind of a virtual website presence. And the lastly was to make more use of the Liverpool waterfront for festivals and events. So what's happened in each of the three pillars since 2013? So I've just captured a few things that fall into these pillars. And What actually happened in reality with the action teams, we had two goes at getting those started, and it was great that people from all different walks of life offered to become part of these action teams. But I think what, this is my own theory really, of why it didn't work so well was because they were all busy people with their own jobs, and they weren't necessarily the people who could take that particular action forward. And so there was a lot of wheel spinning going on, and it was kind of seen as, oh, you know, it didn't work. But it wasn't that. I think it was just it was too artificial, I guess. It was too created, and it wasn't, it just didn't have the ingredients it needed to make things go the way they needed to. So what I'm seeing here, say in the health and wellness pillar, is that, you know, we have indeed have people come forward like the Queen's Care Society, who form themselves through, you know, no artificial involvement from the region of Queens. They just saw needs that were in the community and that needed to be filled for seniors' housing, for transportation, and, you know, have coalesced and done some good work, which we've helped with. Same with the Queen's Community Aquatic Society, who have a passion for a pool. You know, they've invested a whole lot of time and effort in their passion, which is getting a pool for Queens. So I think that a lot of stuff has happened, but it's happened organically. It's grown from the roots of the community, those with the passion. And the piece we're missing, I guess, is that we haven't actually made the connection between these things that have happened and the attraction strategy, and that's the piece that needs to happen, because people are thinking nothing's happened with the attraction strategy, when in fact the community has really risen to the challenge and done a whole lot of good stuff. So as you'll see on there, there's some of the things that community groups have done, some of it we've done, some of it we've helped to fund, and there's a lot going on. The same in the academic research. You know, the InnovaCore Demonstration Centre and Port Mersey have come into being and are doing really well. The Cipacale Gallery is taking those artifacts Matthew Betts found and displaying those and artistic works. MTRI have always got a lot of interesting projects going on of an academic nature. And I've mentioned the Forestry Innovation Laboratory project, which a couple of representatives from MTRI have been involved with one aspect of that. And it's been around sourcing contractors in the forests, forestry contractors and people with woodlots, private woodlot owners that haven't actually harvested their woodlot, and coming up with a way of matchmaking them so that their values are protected in terms of the way their woodlot is harvested. And I know the executive director, Amanda Lavers, usually likes to come once a year to present to council, and it's always interesting to hear what they're involved with, and so hopefully she will ask to come again in the next couple of months. So the business hub is open and being used, and I gather that there's a proposal that they hire somebody, and that will be really a missing link in that piece, because they can then start getting much more promotion of the facility and reaching out to people, getting engagement, and also, you know, billing people and getting some funding coming in the other way. But it's a very lovely facility. It does have tenants, and it's up and running, but there's always room for improvement. And the CIRA project, the Canadian Internet Registration Association, are at the hub working on a TV white space for rural internet, which is beaming out the internet signal over the unused, what's called TV white space, and has had some success. In fact, MTRI are running their internet off of that service right now. So that's fairly groundbreaking stuff, and our own Richard Lane was very much involved in that. And you know, really, it's an innovation for Canada, let alone just us. Arts and culture, again, we've got the Arts and Culture Centre in the Astor Theatre. We've had new events. We've had a lot of concerts at Queen's Place. We're looking at rejuvenating the Port of the Privateers brand, if the community has the appetite for that, and so much more. So my point is, I guess, that you know, the attraction strategy is alive and kicking, and the community are very engaged. Just a reminder of Council's strategic priorities. So there was there the attraction strategy renewal, and to look at that, you know, our role in tourism and attraction, and you know, developing further our cultural assets. So it came up a lot, you know, a focus of attracting new residents. These were all things that came up when we went through the strategic priorities with you as a new council. And so I'm hoping that, having given you a bit of a flavour for what went on and how we got to where we are, we can have a discussion on where to go next. And maybe, you know, we need to revisit those pillars. Are they the right pillars? Have things changed? You know, are they not the right ones? Or do we need another pillar? Do we need to drop one? You know, not to say that it's the, you know, answer to all of our problems, but you know, it's now's the time to revisit and see if it's right for us. So here are my ideas on what we might do going forward. So as I mentioned, promoting actually what the community has achieved, and updating our asset list under each pillar of what do we have now, and making the connection between the strategy, council's priorities, the communication strategy was based somewhat on the attraction strategy, but it really needs to be kind of woven in a bit more obviously, so that people see that it's an intrinsic part of what we're doing here. The municipal planning strategy that's coming up for review, I think it needs to be incorporated into that. Also aligned with what Recreation Department are doing in their activities, I think it very much is, but again, it's not referred to, it's hidden. And then we can use people in the building who actually touch newcomers because they have their water connected or they're getting their tax bill set up. You know, we can have a way of giving those staff some assets that they can then be encouraged to contact to us, and we can help welcome them and help them get settled into Queens. So there's a way that we can, you know, the newcomers don't necessarily have to come into my department, but they do come into other departments in the building. And if they can be pointed towards our newcomers guide that we have, and know that we're there to help them navigate through any issues they may have, then it's just a simple thing that we can do, but will probably have quite an impact on newcomers. And obviously in a Municipal Matters newsletter, we could do a regular report card or an update feature just to keep the community abreast of what's going on with the attraction strategy. So the next step is really more sort of strategic in terms of prioritizing future actions, looking at council strategic priorities, determining target markets for them. And if we're going to go out looking for an investor to do an assisted living facility, you know, how are we gonna, where are we gonna find such a person, and how are we gonna go about it, etc. And finding champions, entrepreneurs, and investors for those actions, and to take them forward. The third element is, of the ideas, is something that the consultants had said in the first place, that we needed to determine a brand for the whole of Queens, and what is our unique selling point. And that's always something that we've stumbled over, because unique is a thing, and it has to be something that others don't have around us, and it's always been a challenge. But if we're going to go that route, it's going to need some investment of money and time to get that brand established. But we more or less have our assets and have the community buy-in, so you know, there may be a way of just giving all of that to somebody, a consultant who's an expert in the field, and saying, what would you do with what would you see as being it? Because you know, and I think, you know, going out to the community with some ideas and getting it, the debate going afterwards, would be a way forward. Engaging with newcomers, maybe creating a collaboration with the realtors. Again, they're seeing people who are moving to the area, and they can help us, to welcome them and make them more welcome, and help the realtors to sell the community. And obviously, if there's a marketing strategy, we're going to need resources in place for that. So I suppose I'm seeing the actions as being, you know, what can we do on a communications front, and stringing all the threads of the attraction strategy together. What specific actions can we take based on your priorities, and then what is the marketing strategy behind it all? So there's sort of three areas to it. And really, that's about it, and throw it open for discussion.
Thank you, Jill. Any comments or questions of councillors? Councillor Fancy?
Yeah, Jill, there's one thing with the MTRI, with Forest Innovation Lab. Do we still have that project going on for the forest management, where people can be able to...
Get certification, the FSC certification?
Well, not certification,
okay.
But so much that they can be able to do this, to reforest their... they had that project out years ago, be able to go into be able to get so much money to be able to work with your land, and
right.
Whether you do it yourself or do it with others. I've got two questions. That's the first one.
Yeah, and I haven't heard about that lately. I don't know if anybody else knows, but I haven't heard that that's still going on, but certainly ask the question.
And the other thing too, I know this is probably, it's just a concern on my behalf, and I don't know if it's going to be, if we're really addressing it here or talking about it, but I talk about all the loggers and things, and they say they got 2 or 3 years of wood laying in the woods. We see things changing. We see, like, was it Hefflers? I forget which one closed down here just recently. So we're seeing less and less being used. Is there anything going on that's going to, or anything that we can do, I guess, actually, to see what we can look at in the wood lanes even from the innovation end?
Yeah, I think there's quite a bit going on behind the scenes, because there's a coalition with InnovaCorps, DNR, and I can't remember all the different agencies now, and ACOA, I think, are involved, that are looking at sort of the whole forestry, the fibre supply, and how that can best be optimised. And that's a whole different project to the one MTR I'm involved with, but they were just one aspect of, I think there were a dozen different aspects of forestry protocol that they were involved in. So I think And their report, I think, is about going to be released soon, so we'll sort of hear more about what that is, because it was really was the first I'd heard of it when I heard it. So I think, I don't know if there's a role for us in that or if we can facilitate in some way, but I think we need to understand what is being done and then look at how we can apply it locally and if we have a role to play. But certainly I see that as a good point. And obviously with the InnovaCore Demonstration Center, you know, they were, you know, built around having, you know, like cellular fuel and having supply for, you know, a good supply of materials to convert into diesel, so.
Councilor Johnson?
I don't, really don't know where to start because I've got a couple of overlaps, but you know, I just recently met with the MTRI group and the Midway Forest Co-op
mm-hmm.
group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a really good idea to bring those folks in here, because I'd be totally amiss to try and even begin to explain all the good things they're doing. It's
mm-hmm.
just absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But it answers to a lot of the questions that Councillor Fancy
mm-hmm.
has, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I just wanted to bring some attention, and again, the North Queens Medical Center started an initiative around what we call doctor attraction, and very quickly learned that it was more than a medical center initiative, but it falls under, very clearly, under two of those pillars and blends
mm-hmm.
into the third.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've done is gone through the Board of Trade and doing an attraction showcasing North Queens and trying to get that piece together, which would link back to the medical center with bringing people to the community, in turn bringing business to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we haven't had a lot of traction, well, with the weather and with missed meetings and that sort of stuff. That's part of it, but just getting engagement. And I'm wondering if there wouldn't be an opportunity to gather some of the expertise and the resource just to facilitate a group meeting over
mm-hmm.
here to be able to get that traction in place.
Mm-hmm.
Because our biggest fear in being proactive is that that medical center should, for some reason, lose its professional.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's huge loss to our community,
mm-hmm.
but even a bigger loss to the region as a whole.
Yeah.
And we're working very closely with Al Doucet and the foundation of the Queens General Hospital Foundation
mm-hmm.
to try and pull that together. But like I said, I think we need a third-party facilitator at
mm-hmm.
some point in time, because we're struggling with trying to get all the players to the table. And in a small community, you understand what that is. Everybody
mm-hmm.
has a day job as well. So.
Right.
But those are a couple of pieces that fit very nicely. And I really like in some of the stuff going forward, my involvement and Councillor Frelick's involvement with the Queens Care Society. That's a partnership, I think, as far as growth goes, and especially on a couple of the initiatives you mentioned. I think that's a huge opportunity
mm-hmm.
that we need to mine as best we can. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd certainly be willing to talk to some other suggestions, but I don't want to use this forum to do that, that's
mm-hmm.
all. There's a couple of things there that's going on that fits very nicely within this
mm-hmm.
within this initiative, and things that we need some help with in North Queens.
Mm-hmm.
That piece of struggle.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah. Good. Good points. Thank you.
Councilor Phil.
I just wanted to go back. You had talked a lot about the history, Jill, and I wanted to kind of talk about that from my perspective as a councillor. And I know the attraction strategy was a huge amount of work, involved a lot of people. People really believed in it and wanted to see it succeed. And again, that was back in 2012. I think if we're looking for reasons why it didn't work, the consultants did a lot of work. The consultants didn't get the fact that not everybody bought into it. So we didn't have the former mayor, the former CAO, buy into it. Therefore, it became another strategy that was kind of put on a shelf. And a lot of discussions that I followed up on were, you know, that attraction strategy is something that should be visible, should be used, it should be on the wall, it should be something that we understand that every decision we make should somehow tie into that. We do it with strategic planning. And I know we've talked about that heading into the future, but it really is something that, if we want to move forward with it, and it's one of those things that it's just kind of sad that that was 2012 and it's 2017, and here we are kind of digging it out again, and yes, lots of things have happened, but as you said, nothing has been tied to that strategic,
mm-hmm.
those three pillars.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we would have been able to tie that back, we would have seen other people step up. And if we would have sang that song all the time, if we would have been talking about the three pillars in every conversation that we had, our list would probably be triple of what we see up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that those people are out there, and we know that there are people that are interested. But if we don't believe it, and we don't talk about it, no one's going to really understand it. So, you know, I looked on, it's not on our website. We don't have it on the website. This is the first time since years that we've had the attraction strategy. There's no visible sign of it anywhere in the building. You ask anybody in the building what an attraction strategy is, and you'd be hard-pressed to have an answer. So, again, the more we talk about it, the more people are going to learn about it. If we go out into the community, those people that were involved in it from the start know what it was and can understand the direction that we were headed. But the normal public, the general public, do not know what the attraction strategy is. So, so there's many ways to make it succeed once we believe in ourselves and
mm-hmm.
move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a great document, and you combine that with the strategic plan that we have, it kind of all fits together. It's really a shame that it died that death. But when you have consultants and they come in with a plan and they don't follow up on it or give you a way to follow up on it, and you don't have the buy-in, then it's just money that's been wasted. And so I'm really pleased to see it out. I think there's a lot of potential for us to really take it to the next level now that we have the buy-in and the people around the table that really believe in it. So thank you for bringing it back in.
Thank you.
I'd like to add to Councillor Frelick's comments. The attraction strategy, the three pillars, are on the website under economic development. The documentation's all there for those that may like to go to that section of the website and read it. We certainly would have some work before us to go back through the strategy and look to see what items are still doable and which ones may have been overlooked. So it's a work in progress, I'm sure. Any other councillors, comments, Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I think, Jill, you've given us some updated information. I think it's important to update that so the public knows what we're doing other than just this meeting here today. And I feel that there's been some development. It hasn't just sat there. There has been some development, but it hasn't been linked to the strategy.
Exactly.
And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what role did this strategy have in the developments that's taken place in our community since 2012? Has there been some link between the two? And I feel that there's other agencies or committees that we have, the REN, we have the Social Housing Coalition. We have these outside groups that have actually, when you say that there has been a housing strategy done or a housing needs assessment, that was done from an outside committee or group, but who didn't know anything about the strategy. But I think it kind of fits in because we were aware of it, so we got involved in that group
mm-hmm.
because we wanted to expand on these and create some kind of results from the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I did that, and of course we have other
mm-hmm.
members and we have them here. But I think there's a lot of it in the community that have happened, has developed, but we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when you're talking about promoting, you're talking about promoting our community, our region, to elsewhere, to attract investors, to attract people to come here. That's so very important. And I think using this strategy to let people know what we have is a real key to promoting. And also you mentioned about internally, departments connecting with you. I think that's so important because if you have people coming here in the planning or people coming here that are connected to our water system or out in the engineering department, it's so important to have that internal connection. And that's that's where internal communications is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And we stress that in the communication strategy, but it was never really expanded on. And I think that our communication strategy really, if you want to say something that's useless at this point, that really needs to be. We revamped it, but it wasn't any change from the one that we had years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to get that communication key with internally and with the, you know, with the county as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great to have your
things
support.
Things are coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Councilor Johnson?
Just to expand a little bit on what Councilor McLeod said, I think these linkages are absolutely huge, and to be able to take this and be able to link it with everything that we do with council, everything that staff do on a daily basis, if this is going to be incorporated in our strategic plan, and the strategic plan is the other part of it, is learning how everything you do has a linkage there somehow, and be able to breathe life in this. You know, it is a bit, for me, it's an eye-opener that there was something started 5 years ago, that a lot of the things you see on that list are things that morphed from organizations who probably didn't have those linkages. And that's really a shame, but it's a lesson learned for going forward. So how do we make sure that we continue to make those linkages and keep this thing alive now and be able to promote it and keep it going? I think that's going to be key to the success
mm-hmm.
of all this, and do whatever we can to keep that
mm-hmm.
at the forefront, like Brian's Councilor Kelly said, you know, post it out there and make that
mm-hmm.
part of our mission, part of our plan, and how it fits into the strategic plan. That's going to be key.
What I like about it is that it's not just Liverpool-centric. It brings together the whole region, and it speaks to everybody, and everybody can see how they fit into it, and that it reflects what we have here.
Other councillors? Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, it's nice to see. I was involved in the discussions when the whole thing started, and it was nice to be a part of it. And it was disappointing, you know, it's when those things, they happen all the time. You get involved in something and you tend to lose sight of where it's gone, but it's now come back again, and it's really great. And it's nice to see that a lot of the things that we're talking about now and things that have happened since can all be tied back to that. So hopefully, like, now that the three pillars is back in again, back in play, and everybody can see it, and maybe things will move forward even quicker, right? We're on a path now, but we've always been there, because I think we gravitate to it naturally. And so it gives you more encouragement in the three pillars, because even though we haven't been out, like, in the public or communicating this, and this is why we're doing this, all these things have been happening
mm-hmm.
because of that anyway, you know? So we've just highlighted that and put it out there so we can all see it, and everybody can see the big picture, which is really great. Funny enough, I just actually forwarded an email on to our CAO. A couple of weeks ago, there was a news release from ACOA. So the federal government are doing two things which will help us out, and we should be tying into as well, is the Springboard Atlantic. Did you see the ACOA news release on that?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that maybe we should make sure that they're aware of. Springboard Atlantic has just been given $9.2 million from the federal government through ACOA, or ACOA has given it to Springboard Atlantic, and it's all about, I'll forward the email on as well, I'm sure Richard will, but about bringing together entrepreneurs, making jobs, creating jobs
mm-hmm.
for people through technology, like through working with entrepreneurs to create, and it's like an idea. Springboard Atlantic is an ideas
mm-hmm.
place to create ideas, and they get it on the table, and they have these regular meetings where they sit around and create ideas and then connect them to our universities. So it's
mm-hmm.
an academic thing.
Mm-hmm.
What can we create? What do we have? And how can we create those partnerships
mm-hmm.
for that? So that's a good
mm-hmm.
thing for us.
And I have been involved in Springboard Atlantic once. Over in Acadia, they did it was like an open day, and there was lectures and everything, but it was all sort of the different things they were working on. There was the whole wine industry thing. And
yeah.
And there was all this stuff, and that was why I was there. I was sort
yeah.
of like, I want to connect with these things. What can we bring here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think now with this infusion of money from the federal government, at least
that's
we
great.
Know that this is, you know, they're trying to create more jobs in Atlantic Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good time to let them know our three pillars, what we have to offer, you know, where can we make these connections if they have for, you know, our attraction strategy for here and what we're willing to do, then that will feed into their ideas,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully that would, you know, suggest bring economic development around for our area.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing as well, I think, is something that would be good, is good for us, is the recent announcement again from the federal government on the immigration,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what you call it, the policy, and I don't have the name of it in front of me, I can't see the email. But I think that's a good thing too, that came forward, and Bernadette Jordan had told us about that at the recent meeting as well, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, good to her word, here it comes, you know,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks after that meeting, here it is out there. So they're actually doing work on that as well to help make it easier to bring immigrants here, and something else that we should be working with them
mm-hmm.
very closely. And I just to go back to, I suppose, with the Springboard Atlantic, is the PACE program that we're working with, which is
mm-hmm.
a very good thing as well.
Yeah.
So just kind of making
those
notes around
connects.
The pillars,
yep.
the three pillars. So
yep.
everything again, what we are doing is working back to that, tying
mm-hmm.
back to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Can I say something?
Yes. Yep.
Just on Friday, we had a meeting. Richard Lane and myself were at the Wren with our other economic development partners, and there was representatives there from now Lunenburg, and so they have, you know, they're doing the trailer across Canada, trying to bring people to Lunenburg as part of their attraction effort. But they actually sort of opened their arms to us as well and said, you know, anything you want to include, or if you want to come and if any of us want to come and join them on part of the journey. And the other part is that they're taking all the job vacancies that we have, like nearer the time, we'll just feed them all the job vacancies that there are in the area, and they'll be taking those for the whole of the Wren region and pitching them.
And Councillor Grevin?
So now that we're kind of moving forward, or feel like we're moving forward, there's a few things that, you know, we've talked about for so long that are pretty easy to kind of the low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Realtors, we talked about that for so many years. I think that is, I don't think there's anything easier than getting those realtors to sit in a room and start talking about how we connect with them and
mm-hmm.
the information they give back to us. I've talked to a couple realtors just like within the month, and they're all in agreement that the people that move into this community, and we know there's a lot of people moving in, that information can be given to somebody to take it a step further.
Mm-hmm.
So low-hanging fruit, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Newcomers, you know, we've talked about newcomers for years. Another easy thing to do. The problem is that we need budgets for that. There has to be some money to be able to move that forward in some aspect. So
mm-hmm.
Just as a reminder, when we go into budget talks, that this is part of our pillar, and we should be doing newcomer events all the time. Again, so easy to do. They do it in all the neighboring communities. And it's not just for immigrants, it's for anybody coming into this community. And, you know, someone from New Brunswick moving in is considered an immigrant. So, and branding, we've been talking about branding for so long, and you know, decades, and we're not there by any means. But if we're serious about it, then it needs to be something that has a budget attached to it, and it has to be something that it's an exercise that we start, we believe it, and we're consistent with it, and we don't.
Mm-hmm.
We're not escaping to the usual and then drop that. We need to really believe in that and move that forward. So a lot of low-hanging things that we can be looking at. And so I'm kind of interested to hear the next step, how we start addressing those things that we've been talking about for so very long.
Mm-hmm.
Any other councillors who haven't commented at this point? Councillor Fancy?
Another thing too is that we always talk about action items and things. So, yeah, there's so many things we start and we just keep doing, we just get bogged down. So that's, I know there's 100 things going on, but we've discussed so much with what we what to do activity-wise, and I know we can, I look what's going on now, and it's fantastic, but there's things like the old trail, the old railroad trail. We would go to clean that up 4 years ago to be able to start, so we'd get a bike stop through there to be able to come through. We need to, I guess, go forward to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're just going to, yeah, we're going to do that someday, and it just it seems to kind of bog down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, because then this part of it's budget and part of it's everything else, but just things that we need to fulfill as we go forward.
And that's a good point, because, you know, not everything needs to be done straight away, but as long as there's a plan for it,
yes,
then it can be worked towards.
I'd like to add a couple of thoughts. We talked about medical, health, doctor attraction. I think everyone realizes that it's not so simple anymore to just go out and find a doctor and invite him to the community. Provincial Health and Wellness needs to approve any attraction for a physician and additionally approve whether they can bill the government for their services. And the province at this point in time is mostly looking after all the traction and is happy to do so. So it's becoming a conflicting difficulty with communities that are short of doctors to get through that process. Additionally, I think the attraction strategy had good promise in 2013. I do believe that it needs a major updating at this point. It's almost 5 years into the process. And there are other items that perhaps are not in the attraction strategy that we should add, and those that have fulfilled their responsibility and can be removed. So I think that embracing what we have and moving forward is not the best direction. I think we need to revisit what we have and update and upgrade that strategy. So that's my thoughts going forward. Yeah. Any other councillors? Yes, CAO, Richard McCollum?
Or I can wait after council. I was just going to try to sum up, but
well, let's just find out if there's any more comments or questions. Councillor Crowley?
I just want to say that those strategies should always be updated. There's once you do a strategy, you know, you're 6 months in and it's already outdated. So it should be being looked at all the time. And, you know, when we look at our strategic strategy, that's updated all the time. It should never be a stagnant document. So I agree with you completely that the concept is great, but it should be updated, and it should be updated regularly. But because we haven't been addressing it, yes, it is updated, but the bones of it are really quite good. So.
Any other councillor? I'll go to the CAO, Mr. McCollum.
Okay, so that's been a helpful discussion for me as staff. There's a few things that I've heard and observed today, and I believe align with what's been said. I think perhaps it's probably appropriate that we do a couple of public updates on the attraction strategy. We've done one here today with council and have had some input from council. I think it would probably be appropriate we did the same with the South Queens Chamber and the North Queens Board of Trade and see what sort of input it brings. As council said, whether it's revisiting it or whatever, it is there, and you know, council sort of has two choices: one, to take what's there and fit it with what we've got going forward, or start over again. I don't think we need to start over again. I think that revisiting it, discussing it, aligning with the current things are important. So one thing that I think, Jill, we probably need to do is discuss some of the risks to the pillars. We're aware of some of the risks to what we feel our pillars are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to state those so that we mm-hmm. can manage those risks if they are important.
Mm. Things have changed over the time. And
I mean, it's not a secret, you know, doctor attraction's important. And if health and wellness is going to be one of our pillars, that's a risk we need to watch, as you mentioned, in North Queens. Resources, whether it's budget or volunteers as well, we can't
mm-hmm.
lift the boat all ourselves, so the list you know, so I do think that going out, engaging and looking for people to, you know, whether they're the promoters, champions or whatever, we need people to help lift it. I do think it's important to keep it current that we do some more regular updates and more strongly tie it into our strategic priorities update or accountability tracking. So I just wanted to follow up on that after I got a flavor from council where you view the strategies. So.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I think also, Richard, what you said is very important, and I think under the health and wellness as well, we seem to be focusing on the seniors under the Queen's Care Society and their initiatives and their purpose for forming, but we haven't had youth there much. I know in recreation we have, but on youth themselves, I think they should be engaged. I think there should be a group of youth being represented from all ages and consult with them because they're very important in our community. They're our future. We don't want to be told, well, there's nothing here, let's, you know, go to university and move away. I think we should really keep them engaged in what we're doing, and I think that's very important to have that on our, and I think it would fall under health and wellness as well, or that's the only other place I would put it.
Any other councillors? Okay. Thank you, Jill, very appreciated.
Thank you.
We will now move on to item 4.1. And that is on the grants to organizations, and I would ask our CAO to give us a update on that.
Sure. So, in December, council gave pre-budget approval for grants to organizations, and we put out the call for applications. We've received 18 applications. What we're going to do to improve our accountability and transparency around this is we'll be giving all members of council the submissions and a list of submissions with the table so that you're able to make your recommendations for the allocations. We'll bring back the consolidated report with the table to council in March for deliberation and decision. So we'll be giving you a package of these here, I'm not sure today or very soon, so I just wanted to update on that.
Any comments or questions of councillors? Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, I know we've talked about grants to organizations before in different forms, but I thought that we were going to have a restructuring of grants to organizations. At what point were we going to discuss who gets what? I thought we were going to have a discussion about reorganizing and splitting up where they go and putting levels to it or something like that was the conversation.
Yeah, which is to the, you know, council can do that. We haven't created a new policy yet. We can do that with what you have in front of you or will have. And I think likely having the package in front of you will help council decide how we go about that.
Okay, so when we're given this task of looking at these 18 applications, then we can put together our own format as to how we feel it should be addressed.
Sure, we can discuss methodology.
Okay, right.
Councilor Fisk?
Just correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I understand that we were going to go through this procedure this year. The same procedures as always, get sit around the round table, discuss this, and bring a new policy in. Was that not said?
Yeah, basically. I mean, we used to have a meeting of department chairs where we don't have department chairs anymore. It's going to be all of council, so Everybody will be included.
So what I'm asking is, we were going to just leave the same strategy this year and then change it for maybe the next year, we'll sit around the round table and discuss it.
The policy, yeah.
The policy, exactly. So I guess I got it. Is that the way it was told? Okay, thank you.
Councilor Kelly?
I'm missing something here because I'm going back to Councilor Kelly's comment. There's certain groups that depend on government funding,
yeah.
And we had quite a lengthy conversation about separating those, taking the balance and doing that, and it feels like that hasn't been done at all. It's just, we're still looking at 18 applicants, certain amount of money, certain amount of money that's available for grants to organizations. And this is a thing we've talked about for many years, trying to get out of that habit, the procedure. So at what point are we going to change that and discuss it? And I feel like that when that package comes to us, it's not going to reflect what we've requested.
CAO?
So again, that would be a policy change. It would be to council to decide. We have not brought forth a new policy yet. That's something that I anticipate will change, and having and all being included in the evaluation, I believe that will come out of this review with a recommended policy going forward. The discussion around the divvying of those things, I believe, is natural when you're looking at the package. I think it's probably difficult to create a new policy without, you know, looking at what you've got in front of you for applications. So we're dealing with the policy that we have at hand, and any change to, you know, splitting pools are things we can do going forward. You know, that's for council to give direction on, but we don't have a new policy right now.
On that issue, it might help if I clarify that my expectation is that when we enter this process, we will resolve these issues in this process. There's no deadline facing us immediately. This issue only needs to be resolved at the time of budget approval, so it will take some time to work through the system, but we're working on initiating the grant review very soon. So, Councillor Fisk?
Just a comment that if we go through the process that's being said to us now, immediately following that process and we send the paperwork in, can we be reassured that we'll be sitting at the council and discussing these problems? I agree with Councillor Fraley on that we have to discuss it now. I realize that there is a problem there.
Yep. CAO?
Can we do that after immediately following that process and everybody passes their paperwork in, and then we sit around the round table and discuss it, see if we can correct some things?
Yeah. So there was general consensus that there's three or four things that need to be looked at first. And council can do that within their current procedure, say looking at those people that rely on the municipal grant for their provincial and federal. There's nothing preventing us from doing that now. It was my assumption that that's what council would do, would be look at those first, put those aside, then look at the rest. We haven't put that into policy yet, but that was the first big item. There's other questions around grants to organizations, of what should be included or what criteria, those are certainly a discussion we can have when we're looking at reviewing the policy.
Deputy Mayor McBride?
I'm still a bit confused, for lack of a different word, that we will be given a list of the applicants.
And right? The applications, yeah.
And then we can go through them and just decide upon ourselves who should be awarded what.
Yep.
And then it will be, you'll give us a scale that to work with so that it's fair. Everybody has the same critique. But once that's established, then are we going to, there's no firm motion on who gets what. We're going to go back and review the policy?
Well, so.
I think we should change the policy in this process and develop a new policy before we actually award them their.
We can do that.
Receives. Yeah, I think that's so important because we've been fighting with this for years.
Yep.
And I think, in my opinion, there are some categories, maybe it should be categorized, because there are some applicants that we get every year that are large amounts, and then there's the smaller organizations that really need that money to keep going. And not that not all of them do, but what I'm saying is there should be, that's what we should be establishing first.
Sure.
And then come up with a division of how they should be utilized.
Sure.
Or awarded. That makes sense, Dan.
Sure. We've got plenty of time, so we can take a pause before this comes back to council and do that if it's the will of council.
Yeah.
Any other councilors? CAO, do you have any additional comments on this issue?
Nope.
Great. Okay, well, thank you very much for this. It would now be appropriate to entertain a motion to go in camera. Moved by Councillor Mews, seconded by Councillor Fraley. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? Thank you very much, Mews. We will recess for 10 minutes.